The first methodology that the Quran uses is to talk to the emotional side of the human being.
يا أيها الذين آمنوا, O you who believe, استعينوا بالصبر والصلاة.
And we have set forth for mankind in this Quran full of examples.
Minbar, a lecture on Islamic issues.
Islam is a way of life, a complete way. It's a complete way.
Dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Assalamu alaikum. Now it's time to listen to a short speech by Sayyid Muhammad Rizvi.
The theme that I've been talking about in this majalis is basically to see those who are close to Amir al-Mu'mineen so that we can relate to them, look at them as role models and examples of what does it mean to be Shia of Ali. Ali is up there, he is Amir al-Mu'mineen. But on the levels of Iman, you have Salman, Miqdad, Abu Dharr, Ammar, and many others. We looked at the example of Salman Farsi, Abu Dharr Ghifari, Sauda bint Ammara al-Hamdaniya, and even the example of Miqdad. I would like to conclude the discussion with one more example of Ammar bin Yasir. Ammar bin Yasir is known as one of the Al-Arkan al-Arba'a, one of the four pillars of the support of Amir al-Mu'mineen. And he was among the very early Muslims. Originally, his family comes from Yemeni background. Again, you know, this is the area where you had the support of those who believed in Amir al-Mu'mineen. But of course, his family had settled down in Mecca much before Islam. And as an outsider, they had to associate with one tribe there, as we saw in the example of others, including Miqdad. And so they became Halif, an ally of Banu Makhzum clan in Mecca.
للحق دوما مناصير وفي المصيبات صابر نصرت آل محمد أنا عمار بن ياسر أنا عمار بن ياسر
مسكت نهج الولاية وبيعت حدر إمامي وتركت حكي الوجاية وثبتت بالحق كلامي حب الوصي ودليلي وصار حيدر خليلي
حب الوصي ودليلي وصار حيدر خليلي
عشقت حيدر وطاها وفاطمة في رضاها رضيت من له شاكر أنا عمار بن ياسر.
Ammar is one of the earliest Muslims. He actually was a friend of the Prophet even before Islam, and almost same age as the Prophet. And during the early days when they used to meet in the house of Arqam, it became famous as Darul Arqam. That was the gathering place of the Muslims in Mecca. That's where he and his friend Suhaib bin Sanan became Muslim together. It was through his influence that his parents also, you know, moved towards Islam. You know, sometimes we only think the parents would influence the children. This is opposite. It is the son influencing the parents to become Muslims. However, when the faith of Islam started increasing, this is where the mushrikeen, you know, started adopting different strategies to prevent this mission of the Prophet. And one of the things they did was they started pressurizing those who were not from prominent families or didn't have tribal support. So people like Miqdad or people like Ammar and his family, who are basically confederates or allies or halif and client of another clan there, that's where you see that these are the people who are known as mustadhafin. the weak ones in society. They didn't have full rights. And so the mushrikeen started basically physically torturing them so that they may renounce Islam. People like Bilal, you heard his story. He was a slave and the master started, you know, physically torturing him. And that also happened to the family of Ammar. His parents, himself and his brother Abdullah, they were all physically tortured so that they may renounce Islam. The Prophet would pass by, but he couldn't do much at the time. He would just, you know, console them by saying, Sabran ya Ali Yasir, maw'idukum al-jannah. Maintain patience. The promise that I have for you is that whatever happens, you will have the Jannah at the end. And Ammar's, you know, parents also resisted till the end. Means they were tortured to the point of death. Ammar was there, still tied, and he could see that the father and mother refused to renounce Islam. And they, you know, Yasir and Sumayya became the first martyrs in the history of Islam. And this is where, you know, Ammar, when he saw the torture of his own parents, in order to save his own life, he renounced Islam verbally and praised the idols of Quraysh. And because of that, they let him go. They said, okay, you are fine now, go. He immediately goes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he was crying. Not crying for his parents. He says, Rasulullah, I was forced to save my life and I uttered these words against you. What will happen to me? This is the early days of Islam. You know, the rules have not yet come in. And that is where Rasulullah asked him, tell me, when you were uttering these words of kufr, was your heart at peace with Iman or not? He says, yes, these were only words. I was at peace as far as my Iman is concerned. And at that time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent down the ayat number 106 of chapter 16. This ayat specially came for Ammar, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, "Man kafara billahi min ba'di imanihi." Whoever disbelieves after the Iman, illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. So this is the judgment about somebody who becomes kafir after becoming a mu'min. But then Allah puts an exception there. Illa man ukriha wa qalbuhu mutma'innun bil iman. Except somebody who was forced because of the circumstances, while his heart was still at peace with faith. وَمَنْ شَرَحَ بِالْكُفْرِ صَدْرًا. However, whoever opens their hearts towards kufr, not only on you know, tongue, فَعَلَيْهِمْ غَضَبٌ مِنَ اللَّهِ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابٌ عَظِيمٌ. They will have Allah's wrath and severe punishment in the hereafter. This is, we see this, the first ayat about the principle of taqiyya. Taqiyya, you know, dissimulation, where you say words of kufr in order to save your own life or honor or property. Depends on the severity of the situation.
You're listening to Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. This program entitled Minbar. Our email address is englishradio@irib.ir.
روحي كريم عظيم عليم حليم حكيم متين غفور شكور ودود قيوم رؤوف صبور مجيد اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلوا عليه.